Let's stand up and pray together this morning. Stand up. Kneel. Put your right hand up. No. Just checking. I want you to have a peaceful heart in church, amen? I want you to be relaxed. So when you smile, your whole body relax, amen? Let's pray together to our Father. Now, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. We're going to read Psalm 23, and I want you to take special notice when we do. This is the Bible, amen, God's word, amen. I want you to take interest in one line. The Bible says, he maketh me lie. Does that mean you do it voluntarily? Does that mean he asks you? When you overwork, when you overrun, when you get over beyond your own strength, he will make you lie down near still water. Understand what that means. God says you need rest. In order to do even the job that you do, you need to rest. My wife and I worked 27 shows in 13 days, and just as soon as the last show, I could see that she wasn't feeling well, and I've started to run a little bit just because my body needs to rest. And God will make you rest. If you don't take time away from your work or all the things that you're stressed out about, he will make you rest, amen? But that rest is for you to get stronger, as long as you're focused on him. Let's read together. This psalm is like Mary Magdalene. Seems like everybody knows this psalm. Hallelujah. Psalm 33. I should wear my glasses all the time.
Never mind.
Actually, that's a good Bible study. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Hallelujah. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. Hallelujah. He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Hallelujah. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Hallelujah. The word of God, Psalm 33. I thought it said 23. That's why I told you about that. But maybe somebody here needed to hear that. You know, sometimes I say that. We don't make mistakes. But if God's leading us, amen, I think it's true. I really do. Now for the prayer testimony today, Officer Ramos had a funeral on Saturday for the New York. I don't know how many of you knew, but he was studying to be a pastor. It was his life to serve people with the police force and to serve people with God. Amen. That was his dream. He went to school. He was this close to becoming a pastor and bringing people closer to Jesus. I tell you that because bad things happen to good people, amen? Does that mean, why didn't God protect him? Why didn't God save him? Well, God may actually use him in such a greater way than we could have ever imagined. He may be the greatest pastor in New York if people start to listen to what he was going to say and the words that he followed and see the example of the family. The Ramos family, the first day, they came out and said, we forgive the shooter, because they had to. Because the anger would overtake you, the frustration would overtake you, and it did not overtake them. Their sadness cannot be measured in words, amen? Their pain today cannot be healed by somebody's words. It's going to take time. But they trust in the man that their husband and their father talked about. I'm sure they prayed at the table every night. I'm sure he told his children about Jesus. I'm sure he read the word and knew the word and found himself approved to become a pastor. a shepherd over a flock. His whole heart was to serve other people. And you see the difference in the people. There was no outrage. There was no screaming. There was no breaking glass. There were no protests. There were no blames. They forgave. And the second they forgave, they were able to begin the healing. Amen? Injustice is done every day to people all over the world. Some people refuse to see it. Some people want to walk through it. Amen? People have suffered. Other people have come to this country and suffered many things to become American. The Italians when they came over, the Irish when they came over, the Germans when they came over, suffered greatly, suffered all kinds of discrimination and injustice. But they said, no, we want to live here. We want this country to be better. We want to make it better because this is America. They wanted to come here to be Americans because of what this country stands for, with God, amen? And you see the difference of people who are just wanting something and demanding something, and if you ask them what they want, I bet 8 out of 10 people, they couldn't tell you. What do you want? You see somebody laying down on a mall, my daughter was saying at the mall in Nashville, they couldn't go there the other day because people were laying all over the floors. And you see, walk up to somebody and say, what do you want? And I guarantee you, they can't tell you what they want. They have an idea, they have a thought, but it's not anything that they can achieve by doing what they're doing. You want respect and you want to earn and you want people to listen. You have to do like the Ramos family did. First of all, you have to forgive. Then you can walk forward. Then you can tell people what they need to hear, what makes them stronger. Because no depth of anger, no evil. You see it on TV all the time. Evil knows no bottom. Amen? Are you with me? Evil knows. You see something, say, boy, things just can't get worse. And all of a sudden, they're doing something, and you say, how did that happen? How did somebody... And then the other day, they went into a school over in Pakistan. 148 children. 148 children. And you say, evil can't get any worse. It gets worse every day. Amen? It does. You just have to know that God is the answer. You have to know that Jesus is the hope for tomorrow. Jesus is the guide that will get you above and over, amen? Because this evil is going to be here. We have to overcome, and we overcome with Him. We need to tell more people about God. We need to tell more people about Jesus. We can't be afraid anymore because evil is not afraid to get in your face. Evil is not afraid to stop you in the things you want to do. We need to say, Jesus loves you. We need to say, God has a better way for you. There's a future for you with Jesus. He loves you. I'd love to see some of these sports people, now that they've opened the door. I talked to my wife. Now that they opened the door, I'd like to see some of these sports people with Jesus loves you on their shirt while they're warming up before a game or praying after a touchdown. Remember Tim Tebow? Just a couple of years ago, y'all remember who he was, the Christian football player, and they mocked him. And he scored. He had a good play. He'd get down for a second, and all he did was pray. He didn't showboat. He didn't get anybody's face, but he got down and they mocked him. Amen? But that's what we need. Amen? That's what the world is hungry for. They're hungry for people to stand up and say this. They're hungry for people to stand up and say, forget the noise. Let's get closer to God because He can fix this situation. Amen? He can heal. He can heal. You look at that family Saturday and you could see the pain. But you can also see that they're recovering already because they don't have any anger. They let the anger go so their body can recover, their heart can recover, their spirit can recover. And I say, there's only one person that can do that for you. It's Jesus. Amen? Jesus. And again, I say, bad things happen to good people. We have to stand up and make that shine. Make that known that He was a good person. Make everything known why He believed what He believed. We need to do that to honor those people who give up their life. You know, Paul had his head cut off in the Bible. He was a martyr. Had his head taken off because they didn't believe him. They didn't want to hear. Peter was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified the way Jesus was. Stephen was stoned to death because he was talking about Jesus. Are you with me? These These people thought enough of God and thought enough to tell us what to do, how to have a life of prosperity, how to have a life of peace, how to rise above the anger, how to have favor with our teachers. When you go to school, kids, you get favor with your teachers by acting like a Christian, acting with respect. When you act and walk the way you're dressed, you look so pretty. That's what people see, the first impression. They see that and they say, this is somebody I can work with. And then you smile. Then you smile at your teacher or at work. You give them an atmosphere of peace. And all of a sudden, good things start to happen for you and for them. Amen? Amen? And remember, when God touches something, everybody is blessed. Everybody receives the blessings. And that's the testimony to Him. And that's why we need to walk closer to God. Because even in that pain, that unthinkable pain that family felt, the unthinkable pain that no word, no priest, no pope, no bishop, nobody could take that pain away with words. Amen? All it took was the inner Holy Spirit inside of them making them stronger. With God, all things are possible. Amen? With God, you can overcome the evil. You can overcome the anger. And that's what we truly need. Amen? Give God praise and glory, church. Together, shall we? Pray a little bit. Lord, thank you. Lord, in our flesh we can be afraid. In our flesh we can doubt. And it's not just in the world, Lord, it's in our homes we can doubt. Sometimes when our children do something we know that they shouldn't, and we have to remember the times we did when our parents didn't want us to, but you got us through it, Lord. You got us through it when we were 16, when we were 12, when we were 17. You carried us through all that, Lord. We have to remember when we see our children that they're going to turn to the left and right sometimes. Lord, the only way that we can pull them back is to tell them more about you, show them you, give them that love that draws them back from the dark. Back to the light. This world seems dark, Lord, and you told us it will be, and it will get worse, but with you, the light will always shine. It will shine upon us. You will raise us higher than the darkness, because we're your children. We're all your children. We read this word, we go and listen to preachers and people talking about you, to learn more about you, to grow closer together, to hear it and understand it, Lord, because you are our Father in heaven. And the more we let you lead us, the better our lives become. The more we surrender to you, the less we fight at home with our wives and our husbands. The less we fight at home with our children. The less we fight with those who come against us. Lord, you told us that we should never argue with a fool because we end up sounding like a fool. So even with that wisdom, we save ourselves from aggravation and we save ourselves from frustration. Lord, when we get a bad report from a doctor, a man who's trying to help us, when we get a bad report from him, we know that we have a doctor who sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, that we call upon. And we know when faith in Him begins our healing. We know that the doctors can only do so much, but there's nothing impossible with you. So if we start focusing on you, just focusing on you and believing you, then we start walking healed already. The healing begins. The impossible begins once we turn to you. And Lord, let us not forget you. Let us not have that miracle in our lives and then walk saying, oh, that was good. And forget what you've done for us. And forget to tell others about you. And forget to read your word just to grow stronger. Lord, I know that there's some people who have a problem going to sleep. They just pick up the Bible and open up to one of the Gospels, open up one of the letters and just start reading maybe some of the Proverbs. Something simple, Lord, that they start reading that and they'll find all of a sudden that they're sleeping. And a more peaceful sleep because they're listening to your words. They open up the book, Lord, and they find themselves confused. Just turn the page. Just turn the page. It's not ready for that yet. That soup's not ready to be served. Find a spot where you can start enjoying the Father. That will change inside of you. We can't change others, but if we change, others have to change. The way to prove others wrong is to walk more with the Lord and not do what they expect us to do. The way to prove others wrong is to not continue doing the things that we've done to prove them right. And then we can rise above and have that victory and give you the praise. With each and every day that we share, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. So much to read and study when you're doing the Bible. And it's so good to see young folks. Cassie, good to see you. Lydia, good to, Jerry, put your hand down. Praise the Lord. Children, good to have you. We know that Jean's daughter would love to be here with her grandchildren if we had a children's ministry. So I want you all to pray for that in 2015. Let God be the leader. But we had a children's ministry downstairs that would draw more people, more families. Amen. And just things that we can see to grow. Amen. We want this church to continue on the growth it is. Amen. Give him praise, church. This is our Father. Leviticus, simply Leviticus is a book Moses wrote to Levi, the nation of Levi, the tribe of Levi. They say 12 tribes in Israel, just 12 different families. That's all it is. It's not a big secret, not anything you don't have to understand. There were 12 sons, and each of them had a tribe, they called it back then, but they formed a nation, 12 different nations that formed the country of Israel, amen, the north and the south. So he wrote to in Leviticus, he wrote to Levi's, the family of Levites, because they were the priesthood, amen? They were the family that were going to become priests and high priests. So he wrote to them in Leviticus and told them the do's and the don'ts and the Hebrew laws. And as David was asking, David, this is still during the Exodus. This is, you know, how many years? 40 years when they left Egypt. It took them to get to the promised land because 40 years they kept falling back and wanting the old ways again, amen? They wanted the old things again. They got out there and they had no food, and one person said, you know, at least we might have been slaves, but we had food every night. You see, they wanted something, they wanted back to the easy way, although it was the hardest way. It took 40 years. And this book of Leviticus is in the middle of that. Moses goes to the mountain of Sinai, and God gives him these rules and gives him these things to bring back and share. So that's really all Leviticus is. But this Leviticus is a very interesting book if you study it, because some people have not given up on that book yet. Some people have not gone beyond the book, and we'll get to that when I'm saying. Back then you had, if you committed sin, or if you committed something wrong, you had to bring a burnt offering. You had to bring an animal to be killed, to be slaughtered, on an altar. Amen? That's what you had to do, to show repentance. There were five different burnt offerings. Three of them were voluntary, two of them were mandatory. And you had to bring animals or grain. You had to do a grain offering. The grain offering was just to say to God that we know that you are responsible for our food. We know that you are responsible for the gardens. We know that you are responsible for the goods that we have. Amen? It's just simply an acknowledgement that God is there. That's what you bring the grain offering. So you had to do these things. If you committed a sin, you had to bring a lamb or a goat to be slaughtered. Amen? That was the debt. Wasn't that God wanted animals slaughtered? He wanted men, he wanted them to understand that there were consequences to your sin. Amen? You committed a sin and you had to pay the sin back, and it was a blood offering that was accepted. Are you with me? You see, and this is what they had to do. In Leviticus, he told them. And then he told them what animals they could eat. And they told them what animals they couldn't eat. The circumcised and the uncircumcised, the clean and the unclean. You start thinking, God is telling them, first, the clean and the unclean. He's separating. And as we go further, you're going to realize that Jesus removed the separation, that there's no clean and unclean because we are Gentiles. We are not of the Jewish nation. We were grafted in by Jesus, amen? But that's where we're heading with this. So they were told that you had to do this. You had to bring it to the altar. But here's the catch. You couldn't do the offering. You couldn't do the sacrifice. You had to have a high priest, amen? You had to have somebody there who did it for you. So you had to go to somebody, and they had to do the burnt offering. They had to see over it, and then you were forgiven. But they had to do it. You weren't allowed to go to God, amen? That was saying you were not allowed, Dale, to go to God. You couldn't, that's not you. You had to go to the high priest. He was the only one that can go to God. Now, the high priest went into the inner circle of the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, they call it. He went in there once a year. He was only allowed to go in once a year. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And if you ever hear the Ark of the Covenant, that's just, it's a beautiful box that they made with all gold inlaid. Inside of it was Aaron's staff, was a jar of manna from heaven that they had gotten from food, and was also the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. That's inside the Ark. He was allowed only once a year to go in and atone for the sins of everybody, including, are you ready? Including himself. You see, the high priest had to offer sacrifices because he sinned also, amen? So when he went in there, he was going in for everybody and himself. Are you with me? So this is where it started, that you had to go and confess to somebody else. You could not go to God. That was what Leviticus is telling the Jewish nation, that you needed to go to this person. And the fires and the altar burnt continually. You know why? Because it continually reminded them of their sins. Amen? They could look up and see the smoke and see the fire and realize that they are sinners, that they had to go there to forget, get their sins cleaned up, or with their different disagreements with their friends, and ask for forgiveness. That's where they had to go. Are you with me? There are five offerings, hallelujah, to make payment for sins in general, to show honor and respect to God and worship, to express gratitude to God, to make payment for intentional sins or of uncleanliness, neglect, or thoughtfulness, and to make payment for sins against God and others. Simply, those were the sacrifices, and that's what they had to do. And they were doing that during the Exodus. Anybody going to see that movie yet? The movie coming out, The Exodus? I did find out, David, it was the nation of Egypt that's upset about it. They said it puts them in a bad light. Yeah, it does. The Bible tells us the story of Joseph. We went through that, amen? It also tells us that it was 300 years from Joseph to the beginning of the Exodus. The Pharaoh, who was the leader of the nation of Egypt, didn't know Joseph. It was 300 years. You think 300 years from now, how many people are going to remember G.W. Bush, amen? They're not going to remember. 300 years, so it passed. And he saw, this is how it, he saw the Israelites, he saw the numbers, he saw the people, and he said, if these people ever came against us, we would lose our nation. And that's when he ordered all the bondage to the Israelites, amen, to the Hebrews. That's when he ordered them to become slaves and not give them what they needed and hold them in bondage, because he was afraid if they ever woke up and opened up their eyes, they could overtake the nation, amen. He didn't know about Joseph, didn't care about Joseph. It was Moses who came back and started them on their freedom, amen. That was the beginning of the Exodus. And the Egyptian nation is upset about that, saying that the Bible was wrong, and there's things in there that aren't correct, and I didn't expect anything less. Of course they would say that. So, Leviticus. Hallelujah. The offerings that we needed to be made. You couldn't go to God yourself. That's the third book of the Bible. That's the Old Testament. Amen? And here's where the problem lies. Some religions haven't gotten to the New Testament yet. Some people say Jesus hasn't come yet. Some people say that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Some people say that he was just another prophet. So if they believe from that point on, they don't believe anything from Matthew on. Amen. They don't believe it because it didn't happen. It says to the Jewish nation, there's a part of the Jewish nation that does not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They won't read the New Testament because they don't believe the New Testament. Amen. There's some people who say that you still have to go to somebody in order to talk to God, in order to have your prayers heard. You have to go to somebody. You have to go and make an atonement. You have to make an offering to have your prayers heard. So you have to go to somebody who's infallible, the Bible said, because he had to remove the sins of himself. Amen. And then go, he can go to God for you, and then your sins were forgiven according to what they preached. Amen. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. So they're not going to believe any of the rest of this, but I want you to hear it, and I want you to believe, because this will change your life. Then indeed, even if the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold. Hallelujah. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests, and this isn't Catholic right now, but you know that, Miss Cindy, thank you. I love when you come to church. But this, when we read about priests and high priests, understand that this isn't Catholic priests. Right? Don't blame them. Don't look at them. These are Hebrew Jewish high priests. Amen? It's got nothing to do. The Catholic Church is still hundreds of years away from being established. Amen? Are you with me? So when we say priests, don't think of the Catholic Church or think of priests with a collar. That's not who these people were. When these things happened, been prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself. For who? Himself. And for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest when the first tabernacle was still standing. Understand what he's saying. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. In other words, Jesus hadn't come yet. Amen? It was symbolic for the present time in which both gift and sacrifice are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with food and drink, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me go for it. Thank you, Lord. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Hebrews 10:11. Listen to what it is. And every priest standing ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, in capital letters, after he, in capital letters, had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. How many? Sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, those who are being holy. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. To who? For after he had said this, after Jesus had said this, this is my covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. How much? Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. The past is over. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, talking to you, having boldness. Now, you know what the word boldness means? Y'all do, right? He says boldness, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who was promised is faithful. Amen. Let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's telling us to love one another, the church, amen? He's telling us to grow one another, to get over the evil, amen? He's telling us to draw closer together because the darkness is out there. It says so right there. Now where there is remission of sin, there is no longer an offering for sin. And he said, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, that means lifting up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, amen? Hallelujah. It says right here in my Bible, the writer concludes his argument with this powerful statement, that God will remember our sins no more. Christ forgives completely, and there is no need to confess our past sins repeatedly. As believers, we can be confident that the sins we confess and renounce are forgiven and forgotten. What are our sins? Hallelujah. We're in a great place, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. The Old Testament again, Leviticus talked about animals that were good and animals that we couldn't eat and clean. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Then the next day, as they went up on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. Who went up? Peter. Peter? Peter. Went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descend to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth. All kinds. How many kinds? All kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to Peter and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Amen. And the following day they entered Caesarea, near Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, Peter said, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation." Have anybody ever heard anything like that? Even with churches, amen? Have you heard of the churches saying they are the one, if you go anywhere else, you're sinning? Hallelujah. You've heard that time and time again. He said, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with one, or go to one another's nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Peter was saying, "Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent me?" Hallelujah. And Peter answers, "Thank you, Lord." Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. The apostles and the brethren were in Judea and heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And when Peter came up, who came up? Peter, as long as you know what I'm talking about, came up to Jerusalem. Those of the circumcision contended with him. The Jewish nation, the Hebrew children contended with him, saying, "You went into an uncircumcised man and ate with them. You went to a non-Jewish home and ate with them. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common is unclean has ever any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven and said, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And Peter said, This was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Leviticus, animals you could eat, animals you couldn't eat, the clean, the unclean. The New Testament, God saying, anything that I give you is clean, amen? There's nothing unclean. What I give you, what I share to you is clean to share with, amen? And it's more than that, brothers and sisters. He's saying that Gentiles and Jew together, amen? Say that with me. Gentiles and Jews together are one family, amen? God shows no partiality now, none. We are brothers and sisters with the Lord, amen? Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Peter, say that with me. Beloved, Peter's talking to you now. I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Peter is saying, you also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Say that with me. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, you know what that means? Faith. You're offering up faith. Amen. You're offering up prayers of faith. Spiritual sacrifices. You don't believe in your head, but you believe in your heart. You're sacrificing. You're giving to God. You're surrendering to God. Amen. You're offering Him spiritual sacrifices. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you, who? Are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Say that with me. People of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Who said that? Peter. Amen. Peter said, you are now a holy priesthood, Miss Pat. You are a servant of God, but you are able to go to God. Amen. You are worthy to go to God now. You don't need a mediator. Are you with me? The New Testament, because of Jesus, tells us we don't need a mediator. We don't need. The old has been removed and the new has come. Amen. You as royal priesthood are able to walk through the door, and we're going to read a minute. It says to walk through boldly into the throne room of God. Boldly. That means you walk in with your prayers. Amen. That means you walk in with your concerns. That means you walk in there with your confession. And who hears your confession? Because you already sinned against Him. Amen. The Bible says we don't sin against man. We sin against God. So when you go in there and you confess, who hears your confession? And who forgives you? Who died on the cross? Why did He die on the cross? For your sins. Amen. And He sits at the right hand of God. And you are God's people. Say that now. You are God's people. You say, well, Pastor, I get that, but what is it? You need to believe for the impossible. Are you ready to do that? You go somewhere and somebody says this, this, and this. You say, well, that's... No, it's what God says. I always tell people, I told my friend, I said, it's never over until God says it's over. Amen? Nothing is ever done until God says it's done. You need to start claiming. You need to start claiming that. You need to start going to that throne room and saying, Lord, I got a bad report from the doctor. Lord, I got a bad report from my son. Lord, I got problems. You need to go there and you need to give him that, and then you need to have faith that he hears you. Amen? Because the Bible says, and you need to have faith that he will carry you through. Amen? This is where it gets so powerful for you. Not for me as a pastor, because I do this every day. I stumble every day. I get up every day. You know, you have all the kinds of... I deal with every day like you deal with every day. I don't feel great today. I give it to God. It's okay. It's okay. It's all good. I give it to God. I go to him every day about every problem that I have. And I believe him for the answer to the problem. Amen. I believe that he'll lead me to where I need to be the answer. I need that he'll open doors that I need him to. And he'll close doors behind me and won't let me walk back through them. Amen. You need to have that. You have that. Nothing formed against you can prosper. And nothing, say that with me, nothing is impossible with God. You got children, you got the classes, you got so many classes you're worried about. God will help you through it. The Holy Spirit will help you. And remember, you put in the work. You do the homework, right, Cassie? You know, you're not who you are because it was easy. You're who you are because you work for it, amen? You see a baseball player, and it looks easy. The guy goes out and makes a great catch, but there were years of working for it, amen? You see somebody with a job with a computer, so this is easy. I said, no, it's not. You just worked hard to get to that point. Amen? But you give God praise and glory through it all, and he will make it easier. Amen? He will help you. He will guide you. Roger, you want to catch fish someday? Just for the heck of it, you're on your boat this spring taking us out. Say, Lord, show us where the fish are, and you start catching fish. You will never doubt again, brother. You just, because God knows where the fish are. He knows your needs. And this whole Exodus, this whole Leviticus, this word that sounds so crazy, was just to teach us that in the Old Testament we were separated. We didn't have a chance to go to God. But now you have the new promise because of Jesus. Amen? Whatever makes your heart feel comforted with the God, I don't want you to lose out on the joy. I don't want you to lose out on the power, on the strength. I don't want you to lose out on his blessings. Amen? Whatever you believe, believe. But you got to believe him first. Amen? Thank you, Lord. In closing, and everybody applauds. This is so much fun for me and so much work. And my wife will tell you that I get caught up in notes, and I get caught up because it's so beautiful. All right, brothers and sisters, here it is. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Without what? Without sin. Let us, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. That's all you really need to know, brothers and sisters. You go to God every day. No matter what anybody says, no matter how it comes against you, you go to God and you surrender and you trust him. Don't get in his way. Don't try to help him. Don't get ahead of him. You're only going to mess up what he's trying to do. And remember, as you walk with the Lord, as you continue to do that, to tell others about you, you tell others about God. And as you walk with the Lord, understand that you are now representing who? When you go to work, you're representing who? When you go to school, you're representing who? So you got to do your best to represent him the way he would want to be represented. And he will lift you up, amen? He will heal your bodies. He will heal your mind. And he will get you away from the worry and the fears of the world, amen? Give your God praise and glory this morning. Where does he live? Hallelujah. Who does he love? Hallelujah. Who can go talk to him? I can't hear one of you. I can't do a thing. I could just pray for you and give you the faith to understand. Amen? I'm just your pastor. I want to lead you to the water. You have to drink it. As much as you drink, you'll enjoy. As much as you eat, it'll change your life. Amen? He's waiting every minute. And the best part of God, the best part, Bill, you don't have to talk to him about things you did. He knows. There's not one place you have been in your life that he hasn't been there, and one word that you've said that he hasn't heard. So you can bypass all the explanations and bypass because he loves you, amen? Just like your child comes to you and you might be upset at him, but you love him and you just put your arms around him and give him a hug. That's God. He said, I don't see your sins anymore because I shed my blood once for you. I don't have to do that again because my blood is pure. Amen? Your God wants you to rejoice. Your God wants you to have strength and peace. Amen? Your God wants you to tell others about him. Hallelujah. Give him praise. The Lord's Supper. Simply, it says in the Bible to do this in remembrance of Jesus. Amen? What you're doing is remembering Jesus. It doesn't matter how you do it. You understand? How you want to do it. If you're at home and you have a cup, and it doesn't matter. You're doing it in remembrance of who? In this church, we do this now in remembrance of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he took the bread and blessed and broke it. And he told his disciples, this is my body being torn for you. And he simply asked them to eat and do this in remembrance of him. You are his children. You are his children. You are a royal priesthood. Someday, when you meet him face to face, he's not going to ask you the questions you think. He's going to ask you, did you love my son? Did you love Jesus? Did you call on my son? Did he give you that love? Did you know him? Did you read my word? Son did for you. Did you remember to forgive yourself for the sins that you believe you've committed because God sees them no more? No more. The book of Leviticus makes for very interesting reading. The Exodus is still continuing. Moses wrote that book. Moses was there. Moses went to the mountain. Moses talked with God. And he wrote that book for us. This week, you'll come in here Sunday wanting to tell each and every one of us every word that he said. And you say, you gotta believe me. You gotta believe me. Oh, yeah. That's what the Bible is, brothers and sisters. Moses wrote that so that we would believe. Because he talked to God. He sent his only begotten Son that we may have salvation. The Lamb that was slain for the remission of our sins. And the Bible asks us to do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Start each statement saying, my God said, the Bible said. That's a great way to start. That's number one. My God said. Jesus said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. He said, do this in remembrance of him. The Lamb that was slain Some people don't believe because they want a warrior to come and destroy their enemies. They want God to do what they want God to do. They didn't want a Savior to come to heal everybody and bring everybody together. They didn't understand that. Some people believe he's coming to destroy those that they disagree with. Not our God. He's coming to heal a nation. Heal a people. Testament, and you read Leviticus, and you read Deuteronomy, it simply explains why people think the way they think today. When you read that, you understand some of the things that people say today, where they got that from. And then you just simply say, Jesus has removed that bondage from us. The lamb that was slain, they wanted a warrior, and they got a lamb. God the Father in the Bible is called the dove. The simplest, most beautiful animal, the dove. Our dove. Thank you, Art, for our dove. See, in the Bible, you've got God the Father and God the Son, the power as a lamb and a dove. Peace. Peace. Peace I give you, not that the world gives you, but the peace that I give you. Surpassing all understanding. Uniting us all because we are one in Him. It doesn't matter where you go, we're all one with Him. We are the family of Christ, the family of God. Good job, Chuck. He took the wine. Jesus simply poured it into a cup. And he told his disciples, this is my blood that will be shed for you for the remission of your sins. He blessed it and told them to drink and to do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. Something you might not know about your pastor. I am a fanatic for Jesus. I believe that Jesus can save you from a bad dream. I believe Jesus answers your prayers. I believe Jesus yearns for us to talk with him. He yearns for your company, not the prayers of repetition. If that's in your heart to do, then God led you to do that. But he yearns to be your companion, amen? I believe that you're in the middle of a bad dream. You can call out the name Jesus, and he'll save you. He saved me many times. My wife will say to me when we drive, what'd you say? I just said, don't know. I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Put my hand in my car. Just say, thank you, Lord. Because I know that bad things happen to good people. But I know those people, that family of the Ramos police officer, they understand that more today than they did last week. They're closer to God now than they were last week because of the tragedy. It drew them closer to God. Amen. They had two choices, and they made the choice that their father would want them to make. They could have got angry and yelled, and nobody would have listened. But they forgave, and the world hears that. See the difference? Nobody hears when you're yelling. You start breaking windows, people stop listening. It's over. No conversation. I didn't even see it in the paper, but my wife told me, it made my heart kind of happy in a way, that the New York Yankees are paying for school for the children. Their school for the rest of the Yankees are putting up, and they did it without any fanfare, without any, you see, because people come together when something bad happens, amen? They come together to help. Those families that are fighting right now, we would have lifted them up if they had asked us to. Because a tragedy happened. They lost a loved one. We would have lifted them up. We would have given them hope. We would have given them peace. We would have given them love instead of the anger and the frustration because that's just never going to end. And it's never going to get to where they want to be. Amen? But with Jesus, you get to where you want to be every day. I am a fanatic for him. I talk to him all the time. I thank God for my wife and for our children and my grandchildren every day. We moved into our house. I walked around the house at least 11 times that, asking God each time around to bless the house, bless the home, bless the windows, bless the... I ask God every day to bless you. I pray for you. I pray for our church. I pray that our church grow in a way that other people have to notice. Not because we said anything. Not because we went and yelled how great we are or one, but that the people have to stop and notice the church. People like next door when they came over this summer said, I had to tell Art and God, I had to tell you, oh, everything looks so beautiful. I want, that's what I want. I want our church to grow in a way that other people have to notice what's going on in here. Amen. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about God and you having that joy in your heart and your life. Give God praise and glory.